G&D here on The Fan with you. Toby in for Jeeps. I see our guy Vic Ferreira patrolling these halls, which means the Nationals are on deck. When you see Vic, you know it's Nationals time. He is on it. He's on his P's and his Q's. The right buttons will be pushed for a Nationals broadcast this evening.
It's like a Grim Reaper, but for your radio show.
It kind of is. It's like, seriously, don't be late. You better get out on time. Darius is going, I think I did the math right. Yeah,
your show's ending regardless. You better just hope you did it right.
Yeah, otherwise, you'll hear about it. Victor is on it, and he is our dude. So the Nats are in Miami, which means they will lose. And I'm not even doing a bit. It's a division game. They're 1-5 against Miami. They can't beat the Marlins. It's so annoying. They're 11-27 in the division this year. I shouldn't have said the lose part. I'm just saying I'm frustrated by that. Yep. I lashed out. I apologize to the Nationals. I don't know if you're going to lose or not. Ha! There. But it's so much losing to the division and so much losing to the Marlins.
Yeah, specifically to the Marlins. You lose to the Braves. You lose to the Phillies. I can somewhat understand it.
A lot of teams do.
I can't stand losing to the Mets still, but please stop losing to the Marlins. Like, most people don't even consider them when they talk about Major League Baseball teams, much less teams in the NL East. Please stop losing to them.
Yeah, let's beat the Marlins a couple times. Let's get weird and beat the Marlins a couple times. Any hoodles, it's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So we just spent the better part of an hour discussing things we're optimistic about the local foosball team, right? And if you missed that, wherever you get your podcasts, get that one. You can rewind on the old Odyssey app, hang out with us. And listen to what Tobes and I had to say. There's plenty to be optimistic about about this team, maybe that the national narratives are missing, or they're just things that you like about this construction. Let's go flip side here. Questions you've got, things you're nervous about. Start with you, Tobes.
Yeah, I'm still nervous about the secondary. I know I've talked up the defense, but I'm nervous about the guys outside of Nick Cross, really. Like, I mean, Trey Amos, I believe in. If he can play football, I would believe in him, but I don't know when he's going to get back on the practice field. And even then, you know, he's still got some learning to do with this new defense and growing as well in his second year. I like him, but then I got questions about Mike Sanra still. I got questions about Amik Robertson, Jeremy Reeves. Go down the whole list. I like some of these guys, but I'm still not 100% sold that when you face Devontae Smith, Mekhi Lemon, you go into the following week and you got CeeDee Lamb and company. I'm not 100% sold that they're going to hold up in coverage. I like the idea that you're going to help them out with the pass rush, but I'm still a little skeptical of that secondary and their pass coverage.
I am with you on the secondary, most specifically Trey Amos and his health. We're just sort of going, yep, we'll see. He'll be fine. Are we sure? Like, again, there's not a lot of constantly practicing, and he missed so much time last year. He and Al Grady, both I'm nervous about, which leads me to my thing that I'm nervous about. Again, we've been talking about a bunch. It's the offensive line. I'm nervous. If I had the personnel that we've got here, right, minus Tunsil, no one's going to be better without Laremy Tunsil. That's obvious. That ain't anybody's fault. That's bad luck. But if the reports were still, even with this backup group, or even with this makeshift group, so to speak, they were kicking the Dolphins' ass. Mm-hmm. In those joint practices, those guys were knocking starters that I know they're not going to be very good, Miami, but they're knocking them 5 yards off the ball, and every running back who wanted to could get 3.5 yards before they were touched. If that was the case in the game with our starters, so to speak, against their starters, against their ones, and it wasn't. There wasn't much doing there. That's been the report, and it's the thing I'm most fascinated to see tomorrow, quite frankly, but it's the area that I'm most nervous in because all this stuff about what Blau's going to do and under center, none of that really matters if you can't run the ball at all. Last year, the case was they couldn't run it. They couldn't really throw it because the whole world knew they couldn't go over the top. They couldn't. Whether it was Mariota, no McLaurin, the receivers weren't dynamic. We know the deal. Everybody was 8 in the box. Safeties were downhill. Everybody was coming to thump. And every inch was, you know, nuclear fusion. It was really, really hard for them to do anything. The flip would be true this year. We don't care. We don't have to shore up against the run. We can stop it with our front three, with our front four. We can play the pass. We can get in some of the passing lanes. We can play for certain things. If you can't do everything, then people could sit on stuff. It's like a pitcher where you go, he can't throw his curveball for strikes. As soon as you see it, take it. Doesn't matter. And now you're a fastball changeup guy. That's a different pitcher than a guy that has a third pitch you can mix in. If you can't run the ball, then all of this, the design to play better defense, run the ball, play some ball control, it ain't going to work. So those two areas, the first one you touched on, and the offensive line, I am really, really nervous about. Most specifically, again, when it comes to health and some of the guys they've gotten roles in the secondary, and then, of course, on the offensive line. Another thing I'm curious about, and if you have any others, I want to hear yours. This is not nervous about. This is something I don't know yet. the sub packages and how the defensive line rotation is going to go. I think this is a I don't want to say a larger story because there are certainly storylines that we're following. But something I'm very curious about, because they got some guys. I mean, obviously losing Johnny Newton's a blow, not in terms of the run game, but this was a guy I think was going to be part of pass rushes. But it's now Owe and Josephs and Amenahu and Kinlaw and Settle and Payne. It's a very different set of skills. You know, these are different Liam Neeson characters from Taken and then another movie where he's throat chopping. But it's just, it's a different style of player. Is it now, okay, we think you're passing. Trot four new guys onto the field. How are they mixing and matching? How are they going to deploy these guys? What's that going to look like for Durante Jones and company? I'm really interested in that. And then that kind of relates to how they're going to use Frankie Louvu. Because last year it was, oh my God, he's going to be unlocked. He's going to pass rush every time. And he was a cricket. We never heard from him. What's that mean for this year? Is he green dotted Mike linebacker, or is he part of the pass rushing group? What are we doing there? And how does that pertain to kind of that front group? Not nervous about it, curious about it.
Yeah, same sort of thing here. Curious about it. From watching practice, one of the things, and I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if this is a positive for the defense, if this is something that the offense hasn't gotten to, but this is just an observation. I'm curious your thoughts on this too, Danny, where I don't know that I've seen as much intermediate to deep passing as I expected from the offense. I don't know if that's a defense isn't allowing it, so Jaden gets the check down and throws the ball. I don't know if that's maybe hasn't been installed yet in the offense. I saw it against the Miami Dolphins in the joint practice a lot. And so it leads me to think that maybe it's just something to do with the way that the Commanders offense plays against the Commanders defense during practice. I think it's in there, but part of the reason that Jaden Daniels was the number two overall pick wasn't just because of his legs and throwing underneath. It was because his deep ball was beautiful, right? Like, think of all the highlights of the slot fades to Malik Nabers and company, right? I don't feel like we've seen enough of that throughout his career, specifically last season at times, where get the ball down the field, push it a little bit. And I think he's really accurate throwing into that intermediate area too, which were, you know, another question about him was being able to throw over the middle of the field coming out of college. I think he's answered that. But I expected to see a lot of that, and I haven't necessarily seen that at practice. So I'm curious to see when we get – I don't know that you're going to get that answer tomorrow against Detroit necessarily, but I'm curious to see once we get into the season, is that more a part of the offense and we just didn't see it because maybe the defense wasn't allowing it at practice, or is this something where they're going to live more in that short range and live on the efficiency over some of the explosiveness?
So, and I think it's a fair question because, again, that explosiveness, you don't have to do it every play. This isn't – you're not playing Madden in the 90s, right? Where you're throwing Hail Marys and stuff. But you need to be able to show that we are willing and able to go over the top to soften defenses up. If there's no threat, and this is what last year was to me, it's why they were so inept for months at a time, was they couldn't do that, and everyone knew it. They knew it. The opponent knew it. You're stuck, and you're trying to come up with something clever, but there's only so much you can do when everybody's right there. It's the problem, and again, I know everyone hates when I compare NFL football to what my 8-year-old does in flag football.
What, do you think it's a similar level?
It's the same. I'm telling you. Of course it's not the same. But at that age, you don't have a kid or too many kids that can really chuck the ball 40 yards down the field, 50 yards down the field. So you're limited by what you can do, right? We played a travel team in our flag football league last year. They had two kids who could throw it as far as the adults. And I was very curious as to what kind of 8-year-olds they were. You know, you're 8? That's amazing. Wow, that's really, really cool. Are you 8 in some sort of different counting mechanism? But whatever. They were incredible. And they destroyed us because we couldn't stop it. Right? And if you have that weapon, they didn't do it every play, but they scored on it twice, which then said, okay, we got to back up. Now look at all the other stuff that's open. That's how this goes. It is a push and pull. And if you can't force them to adjust, then it's an issue. So that's something I will be watching. Again, you're probably right. We're not going to see it tomorrow, I don't think, more than maybe the occasional, you know, somebody runs a love of the game, go route, or maybe you try to hit one just to do it. But that's something that's got to be part of their DNA.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that it's not like they haven't done it at practice. So I don't want it to sound like Jaden's only throwing checkdowns and looks like Alex Smith or something at practice. It's just, I thought that there'd be a higher percentage of it. And I'm curious to see when you get in the regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, against the Dolphins, you saw a lot of it. So maybe it's just something the way that the Commanders defense, maybe that's a positive to our first point about being able to, you know, keep players in front and not give up the big play. So it's just an interesting thing that I'm curious to watch.
So I want to shift the conversation here for a moment. I read this on, I think it was NHL.com that had this. I saw a tweet to the layperson that Washington was already trying to sign Ryan Leonard and another one of their young players, I believe it was Justin Sortif, to extensions. And I'm like, these guys have been in the league for an hour and a half. Why are we doing that? Part of that is the NHL's rules, and you know it can sort of cost you in certain ways. I'm not going to bore you guys with all the various moments of salary cap in-depth discussion that I don't quite understand fully myself. But it got me to thinking about some of the young players that we don't have a ton of sample on. Everything I've seen from Ryan Leonard, I like. That guy is 21 years old. As of right now, this minute, will turn 22 during the course of next season. But I'm talking about young players, right? Mm-hmm. Young players. So for this exercise, Jaden Daniels is too old.
Oh.
He will turn 26 in December of this year. I'm talking about young players that are here in town right now this minute that are going to be here. Who are some DC lifers as we're getting ready to launch careers? Maybe a guy that's been in the league for a little bit. So again, I would have said John Carlson would have qualified because he was here for a decade, but he got traded. Not his fault he got traded, but somebody, you know, you don't have to be Ryan Zimmerman to qualify for this, but someone that's going to be here for an extended period of time, you know, a second contract and maybe even beyond that. So here's what I got for you to start. I'm hoping that this is the case. A.J. DeBonsa.
Yes.
I would like that to be a DC lifer. I want to be right. I want him to be special. And I'm not afraid to put the expectation on the young man because I think that dude can take it. I want my Washington Wizard Hall of Famer, please. I want a guy that I identified that they took 1-1 that is a, you know, limousine riding, private jet flying, gold chain wearing son of a gun that brings me a championship or two, God forbid. We'll start with a 50-win year in a couple of seasons, but I want that badass to go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Wizards jersey. Not my discount Ish Smith jersey that I got on sale on eBay. I couldn't figure out why it was cheaper because it didn't have the T. Anyway, that's my first one. That's a DC lifer, I hope.
Yeah, I like AJ was the first one I was going to go with. So I'll stick with, let's go with another capital because you talked about Ryan Leonard. I liked what I saw in the short amount of time with Cole Hudson. I like this dude. That style of defenseman where you watched Quinn Hughes in the Olympics be able to create so much from the back line, I think Cole Hudson's going to be an awesome type of player for this team that's going to be a blast to watch. I hope he never goes anywhere.
So I'm going to have to change my ways on this. As you know, I'm an old fogey, by evidence of the fact I used the term old fogey just
yeah.
On the radio. I am, what's the right word? Scarred isn't the right word. I generally recoil at the small defenseman. I'm not a small defenseman guy. I've got too much guy getting bullied in front of the net with traffic.
Okay.
I've got a little too much. I'm blanking on some of the names of guys where I go, I never want to see that little tiny guy again get throttled around by Mario Lemieux or Yager or some of these other brutish power forwards that tormented the Washington Capitals for so many years. The game has changed enough where I have to get on board. It's a me thing. It's not a Cole Hudson thing. All he's ever done is the right stuff. And I love you, little Cole Hudson. This is a Danny Ruelle problem.
Okay.
I like Kevin Hatcher. I want 6'4 with a gap tooth. I want a big, angry, raw bison eating Jacob Chychrun that looks like a model stepping out of there. Abs up to his neck, 6'2, 220, dark heart. That's my defenseman, damn it. You hang your hat on that. Cole Hudson. That's 5'11, 175.
I don't know, man.
It's a me issue.
I love him. Just watching him play is electric.
He's really good.
Can create. Come on. You'll come around. You watch him a couple of years, you'll come around.
But don't you make it sound like I'm anti-Cole Hudson.
That sounds like you're anti-Cole Hudson.
Don't you put that evil on me.
Why do you
Bobby.
Not like Cole Hudson?
It's I have a general aversion.
To Cole Hudson?
No. No. To smaller defensemen.
All right.
Like, I don't want, like, if he's out in Clarendon and you played JMU frat guy or Capital, I want it to be obvious that it's not JMU frat guy for my defenseman.
Well, just give him the puck and you'll know that it's not JMU
well,
frat guy.
Well, he's more skilled than the JMU frat guy.
Yeah. That's what I want.
So you're into that more than you are the big burly defenseman?
Not necessarily, but okay. Skilled defenseman. I mean, there's a spot.
Of course, there's a spot.
You got to pair him with the right guy. I understand those things.
Of course, you have to pair.
But he's awesome.
I like Cole Hudson. You're making it sound like I don't like Cole Hudson.
I think you're making it sound like you don't like Cole.
I really am. What I'm trying to say is I have some growing to do. That's my point here.
It doesn't fit your archetype. I get it.
That's it.
I get it.
Like you, well, I'm not going to, I was about to expose you and I shouldn't do that.
You can.
You're a nice guy. No, I'm not going to say that. You know the thing I'm talking about defensive ends. I shouldn't say that on the radio. All right. Some other young guys are going to be here for
a long time.
I'll
take Miles Garrett.
I bet you would. Some other guys that aren't going to be here for a long time. We could probably say no Nationals, right? Just to do the bit.
Yeah, probably not.
Or no young ads. Maybe they might. Well, Dalen Lau could be.
Maybe. But does that require them signing a long contract? Does that like include money?
It does. So that's kind of why we're all saying we don't think any Nats will be.
I think I'm good on that.
Any football players?
I mean, we haven't seen him play it down yet, but I think Sonny Styles. I'm hoping he's a long time.
That might be the answer.
Like, you know, the way that Bobby Wagner was in Seattle for forever, and then he eventually bounced around a little bit. I'm hoping Sonny Styles is that here. Like, the Seattle portion of it.
Because I don't think there are any young players where you go, again, the NFL is such a short shelf life, right? But these are 10-year guys that are going to be here. Styles may be the answer.
Because even the guys that you like, I love Bill. I'm a big Bill believer. He's a running back. So, mm-hmm. You know, what do you think his shelf life is, right? Like, the only one that has a longer shelf life is linebacker probably there. And they don't have a corner that I would necessarily put in here. I would hope that it was Trey Amos or Mike Sammer still. I don't know that it is.
I don't feel great about either of those guys getting to 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? Or you know, full second contract.
Yeah, so I think it's Sonny.
Sonny Styles is probably the answer. Connerly, I'm hopeful of that. We have our Lane Johnston, our, you know, Jordan Mailata or whoever, and it's just a rocky beginning. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at on that. Any other Capitals top of your head?
No, not that I can think of. Not on the caliber of the guys we were already talking about.
Because we're already talking about Ryan Leonard. That's what kind of got us into the
discussion. Yeah, I mean, it's Leno and Hudson to me are in that caliber, and then it's not anyone in that same tier.
All right, if you're listening from the Capitals, I like Cole Hudson. I didn't mean to make it sound like I didn't. I was just basically trying to talk about, like, I love big receivers. I love athletic power forwards. Yeah. It's just kind of the way that I am built. I have to grow to appreciate Cole Hudson more.
I like athletic defensive ends.
We got so close to him telling on himself. Nationals baseball is coming up in a little while. Hang with us. Thanks to Darris. Thanks to Strobes. Thanks to Toby for GP, who was on vacation, and Stanley Ruye saying, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the Grand Prix this weekend. Enjoy Washington football tomorrow. We don't work no overtime. We are out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This update is brought to you by Mervis Diamond Importers. Nobody pays retail anymore. Why should you? The Commanders getting set for their second preseason game. They'll take on the Lions tomorrow. Noon kickoff for that one. Most of the starters expected to play for Washington. No Jared Goff, but plenty of starters going to play for Detroit as well. NFL news, Jags wide receiver Parker Washington expects to return to practice next week after he missed practice this week with an undisclosed injury. And the Texans addressing their wide receiver room after they lost Jaden Higgins to a torn ACL. They're signing Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones. In the NBA, Klay Thompson expected to sign with the Miami Heat, and DeMar DeRozan is signing with the Nuggets. Baseball, the Nationals getting set to take on the Marlins, their third city in their three-city road trip as they take on Miami. 7:10 first pitch. Can hear it right here on The Fan. Brad Lord takes on Ryan Gusto. Getting engaged or married? Visit Mervis Diamond Importers for the finest diamonds and best value. At Mervis, you'll find the largest selection of Tacori engagement and wedding rings in D.C. Together, Mervis and Tacori help create a ring as extraordinary as your love. Go to MervisDiamond.com. From the Crop Metcalf Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.